A podcast to honor the gods.
This better come with a sacrifice.
Deus Ex Media.
I'm Christina Kahn.
And I'm Leela Hilton.
And this is Burn Before Reading, the podcast about shitterature.
We're here to examine the terrible writing we did when we were younger and talk about other cringy literary topics.
Our guest today is Court Zeitler, our friend from Cosmic Court Arts. Say hello to the listeners, Court.
Hello.
Tell the listeners about Cosmic Court Arts.
Yeah, so I'm a visual artist as well as a singer and performer and a vocal empowerment coach. So it kind of like the art just encapsulates like all of the things that I do. Soon it will be also like massage arts. I'm going to school for massage therapy. So it's just like an umbrella term for everything that I do.
Cool. I've heard your singing and I've seen your art and it's stunning. Both
thank you.
In such different ways.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's just a bunch of pieces of my soul just kind of mod podged together.
I love that. Also, Court is our IRL friend. She comes to movie night. Her partner is Michael Boothby, who's been on a previous episode.
Yeah.
If you remember, it's my turn to play art associate Jess.
I love that one so much. It was so
fun. A little update on that, just for the listeners. Mike sent that episode to Jess, and they had
absolutely
not spoken
bananas.
In a long time, and she responded so kindly and lovingly.
She was so chill about it.
That is really lucky, because that is a batshit insane thing to do. I could not believe when I heard Zatina say that he did that.
Yeah.
Like, so not only did you write this and put it under her door in real
or
life.
Or maybe not. He could have remembered.
You know, all of a sudden he doesn't remember. I don't know. I think he did it. And then you... I just cannot believe the cojones on this kid. But you know what? It worked out.
She was so happy to hear from him. So that's truly amazing. Jess, if you're still listening, we're so glad to have
we
you.
We are. Yep. We really are.
Yeah, really. Maybe we got
that's
a new listener.
So funny.
Oh, my God. So, Court, what yes. has been cringing you out this week?
You can go macro or micro. Do whatever you want.
It was pretty macro. So, in my world. So... I've explained this to Tina and Leela about this video that my friends and I created back in my senior year of high school. This is the video I told you about on Girls' Night. But I made this, long story short, 12-minute long video with my friends about my obsession with Benedict Cumberbatch as a teenager.
Oh my God, it's all coming back to me.
Yes, and my friends got me a gag gift for Christmas of that year of a pillowcase with his face on it. And so we decided to tape the pillow to my friend, like duct tape it to her head, put her in a trench coat because it was him from Sherlock, and then record this 12-minute long video about our lives together. And I showed it to Michael, and like 5 minutes in, he's like, I can't.
Like, I can't do this.
And it was so, dude, I had like the shakes after. I was like, oh my God, what have I done?
Oh my God, my damage. Man's gonna leave me over a Benedict Cumberbatch video.
But then he was like, oh my God, this is for Tina. You have to show this to Tina.
let Tina see the rest.
Exactly. He's I can't anymore. It was, oh my
Wait,
God, I was so embarrassed.
So did that recently resurface? Why are you thinking about that lately?
I think about it often, and I really, it just, I used to claim it like in college and everything. I was like, this is like, if you want to be friends with me, you have to watch this.
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
Like this, it was like kind of circling around like our college friend group for a bit, but every now and then like significant people in my life that come into my life, I'm just kind of like, when is it time? And I just like, it sits in the back of my mind and it's like, it haunts me. And
that's so funny.
But it's also like such a deep part of my soul. So it just like, it's always kind of there.
Dude, this haunts me and it's a deep part of my soul should be the new tagline for this podcast.
It haunts me and it's a deep part of my soul.
It's so true though. Oh my God. It's like, sometimes I have dreams about it and I'm like, oh my God. Because that friend group too in high school were like, not tight at all anymore. Like there was a big, so it's a relic.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm excited to watch it someday.
You should be.
I think we're there.
Yeah. Tina, what's been crunching you out this week?
Well, last night I had a dream that Haley was pregnant.
Ooh. Pass.
Yeah, hard pass on that. Like, I'm not here.
I think she would also agree to hard pass on that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm not here to, like, roast people who, like, want to get pregnant or roast people who, like maybe don't know and then change their minds.
Right.
But Haley, if Haley came to me and was like, I'm pregnant, positive, I would maybe institutionalize her. Like,
I would be dumbfounded.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't even want me in her apartment because that's how little she likes sharing space and conforming to other people's like needs.
Mm-hmm.
The bitch is not going to have a baby. And in this dream, she was like such like a 90s mom. She was wearing a white long sleeve T-shirt. And I did say long sleeve T-shirt with overalls with a pregnant tummy. And she was she had filled out. She's pretty respectfully scrawny in real life. And she had filled out and she looked so healthy and glowing.
What?
And it was like so fucking weird. It was so weird, guys.
Well, oh thanks for that image.
Yeah, I'm like unwell. I just don't know. I don't know what to make of that.
It's sitting in my brain very heavily.
Oh, my God. Not as heavy as that baby in her belly.
If Haley were to actually get pregnant and be forced to carry it to term, which, LOL, women's reproductive rights,
yeah, yeah.
I think she would look more like fucking Bella Swan in, what is it, Breaking Dawn?
I don't know.
Bella Swan, I think it
Breaking
is.
Dawn. Yeah.
She would look bad and she would look like that baby is a lot bigger and stronger than her.
That would be crazy. Oh my God.
Leela, what's cringing you out this week?
Oh, that was pretty cringy.
I know. I'm still cringing.
It is horrible. I read a quick article and saw like a TikTok as I was, you know, looking at videos after work. That makes me really sad and cringes me out a little bit. It is that JVN, our beloved Jonathan Van Ness.
No.
I know. I'm sorry. An article.
Don't tell me.
But it's for.
What?
Stop listening then. Let me tell you.
Okay.
Story.
No. Okay.
JVN has, it's come out that like every single person that's worked with him finds him extremely difficult to work with, like very shouty and quick to anger. It said every day there's multiple shouting matches. One of the like script supervisors said.
Oh my God. This is like by far the first I'm hearing about this.
I saw some more comments that were like, yeah, you know, I was an intern or I used to work under him at their salon and I had to quit because I couldn't deal with Jonathan anymore. And I just got to say, like, I know we haven't met them, but like, really don't get to know your heroes is really, don't love anyone. Don't love any celebrity. Because
I love you guys.
Oh yeah, that's fine. No. And I love like my niece and stuff, but like, don't love celebrities.
You people that they'll you have
always
no way of
disappoint
knowing.
You.
Yeah. Well, hey, Alan Rickman's dead. Okay.
That's true,
I'm I'm completely satisfied.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I will not be Googling.
That's
that.
Like rude to have stuff come up after you're dead, right? No, because there's nothing rude and people would still do it. People would still do it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh, leave him alone.
Okay. I did have to look up Jonathan Van Ness because I forgot I recognized the name. But I definitely did have to look him up, and I was shook when I
was like,
realized.
Yeah, did you watch some Queer Eye?
Yeah, for sure. Wow.
I mean, his face is pretty ubiquitous, just like online and like.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's hugely disappointing.
Damn.
When you said like shouty, I was like, he's a shouting bitch. But then all the other stuff. Shouting
like,
at someone
like
is different
shouting
than shouting
at someone. Yeah,
because right. My mom would always be like, "Why is SpongeBob yelling so much?" And I'm like, "It's because he's happy. Mommy's love energy." And he's not shouting at.
It's my question, like on every modern kids show. Why is everyone screaming? Everyone
because it's for kids.
But it's stupid, and my kids will never watch that garbage. Paw Patrol, okay, well, Poison.
They'll never watch SpongeBob? Poison.
No, they'll SpongeBob watch SpongeBob.
SpongeBob is constantly shrieking.
I said current, and it's not like, it's different. That's like a talented voice actor. It's not like,
Paw Patrol also falls under All Cops Are Bad, too. So your kids were never going to watch
definitely.
That.
Definitely. I had a, somebody left like a little wooden cop car toy at the desk. I was not happy with it, and I handed it back to the clinic director, and I said, ACAB. And she said,
good.
What's that?
What's that? Yeah, totally.
I was like, never mind.
Google it.
Yeah, just GTS.
That's not the professional stance of this institution.
Definitely.
Never mind. It means good fucking time out. Wait.
What?
That's so good. Did somebody say GTFO?
No.
Did you say somebody, I swear to God, said GTFO because those were the letters in my brain.
You're hallucinating.
Okay. The cringiest thing that's happened to me this week is this moment right now where I have no idea what the alphabet is.
Have you heard that alphabet remix song of, like, that's to the same tune as my neck, my back, lick my pussy and my crack?
No. I have not heard that.
It's really great. I love it.
Yo A, yo B's, yo A, B's and C's again. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Anyway, Court.
Yes.
What have you brought for us this week?
Okay. So my friend Teddy and I did this role play via Facebook Messenger from the grades of fifth grade to, we're thinking it's either the end of my sophomore year in high school or the beginning of my junior year. We can't quite remember. But a long time.
So about 5 years?
About, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was quite a project. And like I said, all through Facebook Messenger. So like there was always like, oh my God, are we going to like save this, you know? And so eventually I copy pasted like all of the chat. And then I started like, I think my junior year in high school, turning it into a like novel format.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yes. So it's like, I started it. This is like, what you're going to hear is the first chapter of this.
Of the novelization of the role.
Exactly.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So that's without like too much else.
Okay.
That's all right. That
sounds amazing. Let's hear it.
All right. The sun slowly sets as they hop quickly through the trees. Any sign of a plant or animal we could cook up for dinner? Asked one of the girls who had brown hair. Nope, replied the other. Just trees and poisonous berries. They continued hopping through the trees in silence. After a couple of minutes passed, a building came clear through the trees. What in the world is that? Asked the brown-haired girl. I don't know, but let's find out, said the other. They both stood at the entrance, staring inside the glass double doors. The other girl with black hair stepped up to the door. She then felt a hand on her shoulder. Courtney, said the brown-haired girl. Maybe this isn't the best idea. We have no idea who lives here or what's inside. Courtney smirked. I like a challenge, she said. They both entered through the large, heavy doors. The decor on the inside of the building was marvelous. A black modern clock hung upright over a marble fireplace that was covered in beautiful plants. As Courtney appreciated the wonderful room, the other girl became suspicious when she saw that one of the plants was attached to a vine that led into the other room. She began to follow its path. Maddie, what are you doing? Asked Courtney when she noticed her friend walking into another room. Maddie was silent. Courtney shrugged and sat on the bright red sofa that stood out in what seemed to be the living room. Maddie found herself in a dark room. Remembering she had a flashlight in her bag, she pulled it out and began lighting the room further to examine it. She found a few broken porcelain dolls and a broken mirror, but these things were not broken by dropping or smashing. They seemed burnt. This made Maddie's heart begin to race. She knew at this point something had been here, or is here. She panicked and shakily shined the flashlight all over the room. But then, as soon as she tried to escape, she felt the vine wrap around her ankle. Courtney was enjoying this comfortable sofa and decor, but she began worrying about Maddie. Where was she? Just as her mind kicked into gear, a piercing scream filled the air. Courtney immediately sprung from the seat and ran to the room she saw Maddie go into. It was dark, but in the corner she saw Maddie's flashlight facing the wall. Maddie, she yelled, trying to find out where in the room she was. After no response, Courtney dove after the flashlight. She knew there was some sort of monster trying to kill them, for she heard its stomach turning and breath heavily panting on the other side of the room. Once the flashlight was in hand, Courtney put it in the direction of the breathing. Sure enough, it was something Courtney feared it would be. Spitfire, she mumbled under her breath. She pulled out a knife she keeps in her pocket and leapt after the creature. The creature resembled a Venus flytrap in a way, but uglier and nastier. Immediately, Courtney began cutting away at the vines attached to the Spitfire's heart. Embers of fire were flying everywhere as the Spitfire became more aggressive. Spitfires are known to shoot hot embers out of the pores of their heads when irritated. Well, this one was well beyond irritated. Maddie was limp in a pile of vines. The poor girl must have fainted in fear. "Hang in there, Maddie," Courtney exclaimed. A hot ember was flying straight for Courtney while she was cutting a vine. Leaping in the air, she dodged it. Not once did she let go of the vine. The Spitfire's grip slowly became weaker as the vine Courtney was cutting finally snapped in two. Soon enough, the body of the Spitfire lay lifeless on the floor of the room. Courtney picked up the flashlight and put it towards Maddie. Courtney lifted the heavy vines off of her friend and then gently shook her awake. Maddie groaned. "Courtney," she breathed. "Yes, Maddie, it's me. You were attacked by a Spitfire and passed out." Maddie's eyes shot open and she immediately stood up and ran towards the door. Courtney followed quickly. Once completely out of the building, Maddie began laughing. Courtney stared at her in confusion. "What's so funny?" asked Courtney. Maddie giggled before responding. "It seems like every time we discover someplace new, we always get into some sort of mess." Courtney smiled as she agreed. "It's a good thing they both have other creatures in their blood. If not, they would probably be dead by now."
Wow. Okay,
that takes so much out of me.
Amazing. Lila, what's like your first impression?
I definitely understand why this, how it came from, like a kind of like a live chat, it sounds like, you know, that you guys were constantly contributing to. I think the tense, like the whatever tense you're trying to write in, it changes a lot, which is a little bit confusing.
It changed constantly.
Constantly. I also think at the end it like got super gay, so that is my take so far. Gay. How about you, Tina?
I thought that it was a lot of fun. It sounded exactly like someone who was really into fantasy but had never stopped to look at how fantasy is written.
Exactly.
I love like the earnest little voice. Court, how did you feel reading that?
Oh, I felt kind of icky, guys. I felt a little icky. That's so deep in my brain. Like, it's just, I feel like I've had to go through, like, so many file folders to, like, just, like, you know, try to uncover what I can remember of this experience.
Well, thank you.
But it is, I remember, like, copy-pasting, like, you know, these sections of the chat and the dialogue that we had into, like, and I was like, how do I put this into a sentence? And, like, it was just so chaotic, and, like, I was like, this is gas.
Sounds complicated.
Yeah, it was really, it hurt my brain, like, for lack of a better way to say it. It really hurt my brain.
How many voices were involved in this? Like, how many people were writing?
It was just the two of us.
Oh, okay.
Many characters. Many characters played by the two of us, but the two of us, yes. Me and Teddy. Teddy, I love Teddy, my homie.
So, Court, were you a writer or did you come about this because of the chat?
So, I'm not a writer by any means. I was at this point in my life like solely a writer or an artist, and this was my attempt. Teddy was honestly the writer, but he was like, I don't want to put this into novel format. So like, I was like, okay, then I'm going to do it.
Wow.
Granted, I was at like that point, I was getting into like some higher level English courses in school. And I was like, okay, I think I've got this in me, but
AP English 1, I can totally write a novel.
Yeah. Exactly. I didn't read a lot of fantasy. So
what? For real?
It was all video games. I played so many video games, and I watched a lot of movies too. Like, for instance, in this specific role play that we did, that again lasted 5 years, I was really into Skyrim. And yes, through that entire time, like, I was so deep in the Skyrim hole that it was just like there was no way I was getting out anytime soon. And honestly, it's resurfacing now because of this. Like, my need to play Skyrim is so intense right now.
Wow!
So I'm waiting for it to go on sale.
It's like emotionally connected.
It really is.
emotionally and spiritually.
Jason goes through that a lot too, and I always really like watching. Jason does like all those crazy like mods and add things to it to make it look better, you know, like just cool quality.
The same thing, yeah.
Yeah. And so I love to watch people play those type of games. It's like,
it's so much fun. Yeah, yeah. And it really like, but if you were to see like the entire, you know, chat log of what we did with this, like we didn't even use like original names. It was like names pulled from Skyrim, and like all the dragons that were in it were like named after Skyrim dragons, because I was like,
oh, so there's dragons. Oh my God, spoilers.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. So, so do you want the tea on the,
yes, tell us the tea.
So Courtney, my character,
oh, is that your character?
That was my character. Maddie was Teddy's character. So my character was like half dragon, and ooh, Teddy's was, we're trying to like remember it, because it's like the two of us were like sitting together like, what, why do we even make this? but he's like some sort of like half like fairy water elemental type thing. Very original, very unique, very cool. But I was like, I'm a fucking dragon. So the whole story just kind of started off of like this. It was like this town, and like we were just these like girls who lived in this town. Definitely not gay. Ha ha ha. And I remember there was like a blacksmith involved or something. And like we set like the town, village, hometown vibe. And then boom, dragon attack. The big evil dragon of the plot comes and destroys everything, kills the guy that we loved, yada, yada. And so therefore it's time to go out and seek some vengeance.
The two of you both had a crush on the same guy. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, we didn't. So
you said the guy that you both liked, was it a friend who died from the dragon?
Oh, no, it was like the blacksmith guy or whatever. I don't know. Okay, he might have been like, I think he was just like some sort of guardian.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I got you. Deep. It's so deep in my brain, in my wrinkles. Definitely not a romantic interest or anything like that.
Okay, gotcha.
And at this point, like, we were definitely, like, there was nothing romantic between, actually, I don't think anything legitimately romantic ever happened between Maddie and Courtney, because we got to this point where we're starting our adventure, we're trying to figure out the lore of, like, what evil is in the world and where we have to go to defeat the big evil dragon on the top of the mountain and the thing, you know?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I don't even know how, but we come across these two boys in our travels, and mine, I named my in role play boyfriend PETA, because I was also really obsessed with the Hunger Games.
What? PETA.
No.
That's an original only name. Skill. His only skill is painting himself like rocks as he dies.
I so was dumb. So obsessed with Josh Hutchinson's PETA at this time in my life.
Ew. Specifically.
The way you're saying, like, I was obsessed with his PETA, if you catch my drift.
Guys, it was bad. Blank. My friend got me a cardboard cutout of him for my birthday one year, Courtney. And I ran around my yard, like, with him, and, like,
what? You had a lot of, like, you had a pillowcase of Benedict Cumberbatch. Who else did you have, like, life-size figures
I really,
of?
I think that was it. Because honestly, having the PETA cutout, like, freaked me out. Like, him just, like, waking up in my room and just seeing PETA Malark standing in the corner of my room.
He's like, I brought you some bread.
Did you have a brother? Any brothers growing up?
I have one younger brother. He's 3 years younger than me.
Did your brother ever do those, like, they were called fat heads? Those huge stickers, like life-size stickers of, like, sports players and stuff?
Not that, because he was also, like, he did not like sports. He was into music and video games. So yeah, we kind of lucked out on the sports thing with my family, but it would be big. Yeah. I mean, my dad still goes crazy over some ice hockey. It gets kind of wild.
Well, hockey's fun to watch.
Hockey is really fun to watch.
My brother specifically had a sports-themed room, just general sports.
Yeah.
You know, like, his lamp was like a baseball bat and like stuff like, you know, soccer ball pillow. Like,
my brother classic. Had this same room, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it from Pottery Barn Kids? Because my mom got all our shit at Pottery Barn Kids.
Oh my God.
Maybe. PBK. I don't know where. That's my mom so funny. Bought stuff.
No, my brother's room was decked out in like heavy metal band stuff and video game stuff.
I love cool. this little mini session of our brother's bedrooms. Okay, I'm gonna keep going.
Yes.
I'm gonna keep going. My brother Michael had a loft bed with a slide.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
And that was cool. And maybe he got one of his concussions, maybe from me kicking him down that slide.
Methinks he would still say worth it.
No, for sure. And it's just one of many concussions. He was an athlete.
Oh my God. I'm just remembering, like, so I was really, if you couldn't tell, I was really obsessed with dragons as a kid. What? Still really obsessed with dragons now.
You?
I know. It's crazy. I was so obsessed to the fact that I actually got sent to counseling once for my belief in dragons in school. But I also made flyers about dragons eating my bullies. So
eating your bullies. You know? Okay.
Yes.
But this is so funny.
They were like, dragons are not real. And I was like, yes, they are. And I was so upset. And then my dad he told me later that night, like I was like crying. And he's just like, dragons are real, Court. Like, you have to understand. And I was like crying. Oh, I was like, this is not true.
What age was this?
We were still living at the house before my parents divorced, so...
Oh, my God.
It's really the only way I can, like... Yeah, exactly. I would say maybe, like, 11 or 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a little old to be convinced.
Listen. As I sit here looking at all my, like, dragon figurines on my windowsill.
Hey, it's fine to like them as an idea, but, like, you have to be able to separate the fantasy from the reality.
Exactly.
I feel you. Well, I think there's some things where even when you know that they're not real, the wanting is, like, so acute that it almost overrides it. Because I'm actually just now remembering when I was a kid, I was obsessed with fairies, and I had an extensive fairy collection, and I read a lot of fairy literature, and I think fairies more than dragons, respectfully. It's easier to be like, they just don't want us to find them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's a chance that they're real.
Yeah.
I'm also remembering how my brother Ryan was so obsessed with Percy Jackson that he was, like, mad at my mom for months that she did not fuck a god and make my brother Ryan a demigod. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Wow. I think that just really goes funny. To show, like literature can be so emotional, and like you find yourself connected to these stories.
Exactly.
And you're like, well, in order for me to be a hero, I need dragons to be real.
I used to walk around with my Josefina doll speaking random Spanish when I was a little kid.
That tracks. Name?
Aspirational Spanish speaker. I'd be like,
buenos dias. They'd be like,
oh my God,
it's 10 p.m.
At least Spanish is real.
You're the only one whose dream was real because you eventually went on to major in Spanish. Right?
And I finally got my Josefina doll back all these years. And maybe it was her because it came, it's a 1997 edition. Anyway.
Oh my God, that's the year I was born.
Oh God.
I'm so old.
Okay, that's great. Anyway, let's get back to your story here.
Please, yes.
From the top.
Courtney. yeah, Courtney. Most fiction that we've been reading, specifically like my last piece that I read on this show titled Whatever, like a lot of fiction that we read has pretty obvious self-inserts. And I think it's extra funny that not only is this a self-insert, it's like just self. It's like this was me all along.
It's just self.
It's just me. It literally, like, there's no separation from the person. The way that I, like, acted as a middle schooler, like, is totally on track with how this is written.
Well, yeah, first of all, like we mentioned, the tenses are not here. No. Okay, well, first of all, here's something about me. I've been haunted by bunnies today. I read this book called Bunny by... Hold on, here's
the other thing. Is this why you reacted when I put that bunny filter on?
Yes, so that's why I reacted to the bunny filter. Oh, I read this book, Bunny, by Mona Awad. It was fucking batshit. I absolutely recommend it. It's Heather's meets Frankenstein. It's so crazy.
Oh my God, that's so fun.
It was crazy. In this book, there's a bunny motif. There's like bunny rabbits everywhere. They never fucking say the word rabbit, though. It's bunny. But then there's also this clique of girls who are like the bunnies, and they all call each other bunny. And the word I read almost like more than half of this book today. So the word bunny has come across my brain 1,000 times today. And then Brooke was texting about her neighbor who has bunnies in the group chat. And then something else happened at dinner that I forget that set me off with Sean. And then when we got on the Zoom call, we were doing fun filters and Leila put on a bunny nose. I guess maybe it's almost Easter, but none of these have been Easter related bunny
crazy.
Run-ins.
That's crazy.
And the bunnies are just haunting me. And I'm trying really hard to not be saying bunny because the way these girls talk to each other is like, oh my God, bunny, that's so funny. I love this poem or like whatever.
I hate that. Like, oh my God, mother. Yeah.
The bunnies are haunting me.
Oh my God.
So when the girls were hopping through the trees, I was like, if this is about bunny girls, I'm going to leave this podcast. Oh my God. I'm going to leave this podcast. Because you say twice that they're hopping. They're hopping
Why
through
are
the
they
trees.
Because I watched a lot of Naruto, and you know how they like jump through the trees?
I don't know about
Sorry. They hop from branch to branch, but they were going like really, really fast.
So you mean they're like hopping from branch to branch?
Yeah.
Sort of. Okay, so you know what I'm just going to imagine is just you guys Naruto running through.
It is, but it's just through trees and you're like hitting each branch with one foot, you know, and you're just like, it's
funny
long
way to
strides.
Run. That's what I'm saying.
It really is, and it's, but actually really effective.
Okay, you guys have gone past me because I was here saying I thought they were hopping like bunnies when I can see now that this is a figure of speech for walking. What you're saying is they were hopping through the trees in some kind of magical monk-like manner.
Yeah.
Correct.
It's not clear here.
Because they're not all human, you know.
No, we don't.
Okay, that's the end of this fucking section.
Okay,
yeah, you don't get to know that yet.
It's a good thing they both have other creatures in their blood. I don't know why that sounds like they have like a blood disease or something.
It's an interesting way to put it.
If not, they would probably be dead now.
So like, can I ask, when you say you're half dragon, like, are you like, are we talking like humanoid dragon, like Dragon Tales dragons?
No,
dragon
it was like
Dragon Tales.
Looked human. I love Dragon Tales. I also did a project on Dragon Tales in college.
You're the right
for
age.
A child psychology project thing, and it was completely like dissecting Dragon Tales in the forms of like how bad they are with like gender norms and stuff. It's
Whoa.
Really bad. It's really, really bad. They like they're very, very like sexist.
Wow. Oh my God, let's talk about that on this podcast. That
dude,
paper
that's
you
a great
wrote.
Idea.
Yeah.
Write that down.
Oh my God, if I can find it, we'll see.
So were you like the dragon from Dragon Tales in this?
No,
piece?
So it's like I look human, but I can turn into a dragon and it's like a whole transformation process. There's like a whole scene.
So like, was your dad a dragon and your mom was like a enchantress?
That was part of like what we were trying to like retcon during this whole thing. If I remember correctly, again, I'm digging so hard here.
We're really proud of you and really grateful for your service.
Thank you. It hurts. It really hurts. I'm pretty sure it was like mom was a human, dad was a dragon, which is like.
So how can you transform?
I don't really know. It's just some magic shit.
Leila
it was just
needs
like
answers.
Yeah. Well, I can explain how it happened. Was like, you know, first it was like these like, you know, I love the dragon boy. But no, I turned into like a full dragon that was
silly.
Like on all fours. Like
okay.
Smaug, like, you know, so it's like, and
no,
I got all big and stuff.
No, not Smaug at all. It all comes back to
Benedict
Cumberbatch.
If you like look up Cinder, Cynder from Spyro in the, oh my God, what game was it? There's one where she gets big. There's one where she's like a bigger dragon.
So are you like Spyro or like Dragon Tales?
Oh, I was so much more Spyro.
Spyro.
But that was like my inspiration for my dragon for this. So very much
was from this Spyro character?
Yes. So
oh my God.
Spyro, Skyrim,
awesome.
All sorts of things. Yeah.
Did you ever play Spyro, Leila?
No. I didn't
okay.
play like any video game ever.
There's this one Spyro game that came out around this age. I think it was like it was the
was
last
it the GameCube
something.
One?
No, it was the Wii.
Oh, the Wii. I feel really grateful that I was like in college when the Wii first came out and I kind of like skipped the whole Wii movement.
Oh, it was so fun, Tina. I loved it.
The Wii has always been so janky to me. Like I have never, and probably I guess because I didn't get fluency on it, but I went from the GameCube right to the Switch and I look down upon a classic Wii as undignified.
I fucking loved it.
Yeah, it was a time in history we all went through a lot of, most not of us, me. I said, I changed my answer. Most of us went through as a culture.
I mean, and I've like used a we in my life. Don't, I'm not insane.
What I really liked about it was that it, like, everybody was kind of like on equal ground of like a lot of the games you could play on there. Like, mm-hmm. you could play tennis and like, it's really fucking hard because, like you said, the controls are janky, but everybody's experiencing it together. And it's not like, let's say, like a game that, like, if you're an absolute non-gamer, like Mario Kart is really intimidating. I'm just going to say that, even though everyone's going to be like, you stupid bitch. But like, seriously, it's terrifying and it makes me so angry and I like would rather never play. But like,
that's valid.
No, okay, thanks. It's not what I usually hear. but like, the Wii had really fun games like the tennis, like their bowling, or like even like Rock Band. That was like a one of a kind game that will probably not happen again. And it was really, really cool to be able to, like, if your friend had I had one part of the band, they could like plug it in to your system. And so like we'd end up a lot of days with like a full band with like a guitar and a bass and the drums. Okay. And
so 5 minutes ago you said you never ever played video games, but you specifically played Rock Band on the Wii.
But do you know how you win?
By rocking.
You sing the right notes, so that's not hard for me.
That makes sense. Period.
Anyway, let's get stopped doing this. And
I fucking love the Wii. I stan the Wii.
Nice. That's good.
But I have so many hours in my life logged into that fucking console.
That's actually, to drive home how much I don't like the Wii, that's also the only Zelda game I've never played.
Oh, really? What is
Skyward
called?
Sword?
With the exception of a couple of like the older random ones.
You know, I've never played it either. I've only watched it be played.
I started it at on my brother's Wii and the controls were too janky and I quit.
That tracks.
But I did also play Spyro. Specifically, I had a game on the GameCube that I enjoyed quite a bit.
I played most of them. So was it Enter the Dragonfly?
I could not tell you.
So
no memory.
So good. Oh my god. But yeah, heavily inspired. Love me some Spyro.
Hell yeah.
In this writing, I did become a full on all fours dragon. From a human, like, looking like this to...
That happened in this?
I think you mean in, like, the rest of the book.
Yeah, not in this section. Yeah. No, this is just the intro.
I just remember that you said the burnt thing, so I wasn't sure if I missed it.
No, so the Spitfires are another creation. That was all my brain.
I was gonna ask
shit.
If that was a Skyrim thing.
Nah, they ain't come from shit. That was all me. Oh, I was really proud of it, I remember. I mean, I probably got some inspo from, like, you know, like, the Mario plants.
Mm-hmm.
I think those guys were kind of an inspo, but other than
I
that,
was thinking,
I was thinking, this is mine.
What is Feed Me Seymour?
Oh my god, Audrey 2.
Of course, yeah.
You know, I played Audrey 2. I'll have to show you the clip of me singing that sometime.
What?
Oh my god,
I played Audrey 2. Yeah.
What a
Feed Me Seymour.
Court, I feel like anytime we mention like any piece of media, you're like, oh, I played that. Oh, I drew that. Oh, I sang a song about that. Like, you've done, like, everything.
Oh, it's been a wild ride, guys, and it's only the beginning.
Okay, so a funny parallel. Remember how you said you collect dragons, and I said, well, I collected fairies when I was a kid? I started writing a novel about a girl who turns into a fairy.
Oh, my God, are you kidding me?
She's a regular, spunky girl who turns into a fairy.
But that's a much less drastic transformation.
That's true. Like, it was just a bit of wing trauma.
That's what I always said. Maleficent. Oh my god, yeah. No, for real, though, I love Maleficent, if that wasn't obvious. I always said that there's like three types of girls. There's like dragon girls, fairy girls, and mermaid girls.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it was like kind of like those three categories. And I like never really like super. I mean, I went through a mermaid phase, but it was always, it came back to Dragon World.
I'm much more of a fairy girl than a mermaid girl.
That tracks, though. I love that.
I guess I would say I'm a mermaid girl.
Oh my god. Are we like all three of them?
The three genders.
Oh my god.
Wait, that's gonna be an Instagram post.
That's so funny. Oh my god. It's so true, though. Like, honestly, but though, when you like bring three, like in friend groups in middle school, when those three types of girls came together, it was like they were unstoppable.
Definitely. And you know what? Like,
so powerful.
I was trying to think, I was like, but then you're not remembering horse girls. But Which is true. But
I would argue to say a lot of horse girls are dragon girls.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Stop. Stop. We actually have to have horse girls because then all four of the elements are represented.
Ooh. True. That's true. But they're I was also horses. A horse girl.
I was not a horse girl.
I was a hella horse girl.
I definitely got like at one point, a Lisa Frank folder with like a rainbow horse on it. Yes. But I mean, that's about as far as it went. I had a horse birthday party when I was five.
All right. We're seeking a horse. We're a fun thruple seeking a fourth. Horse girls only. Horse girls.
Do y'all remember, was it Saddle Club?
Wait, why do yes, I remember what this? Is that though? Yeah.
It's that's so funny. It's just like one of those like middle school like.
Is it books?
So for us.
I think it was books and then they turned it into a TV show.
I think I read books.
Yeah. Was it like Barbie but for horses?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. It was exactly what Barbie would be with horses. Oh my God. It was, guys, I watched so much of this too.
Oh, this was a, I thought it was an animated show.
Oh, wait. Okay, now I do remember this.
Yeah.
Looking at it.
Exactly.
I feel like I might have read some of these books because I bet there were books that came out.
Their books are not confirmed.
Okay.
Chris Hemsworth.
What the? Oh my God, is this an Australian show?
Oh my God.
Yes.
He's a baby.
It's an Australian show.
It was an Australian show.
He's a little baby. Oh my God. The books are not confirmed.
He's really good on another Australian show called Kath and Kim.
Oh, I totally.
I read these.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I read these. Oh my God. Oh,
I think I read
wow,
like a
what an unlocked
them.
Memory.
Yeah.
These will go on our burn after reading Patreon list of stuff that we love reminiscing about.
We should also
about.
Post a couple of these on Instagram.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Horse sense.
Horse snapped.
Horse games.
Side saddle.
Does it make sense though that I had a lot of
bags.
Art? Oh my God. I had a lot of art as a child of horses with dragon wings.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's not
Pegasus.
Surprising.
Those are
but they had like the big like scaly, sometimes horns and stuff. They were actually really cool.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
I was okay.
All right. So how far are we?
I don't even know.
The decor on the inside of the building was marvelous, wrote a child who has no idea what marvelous decor looks like.
In my mind, it was just like modern and chic.
It's like, okay, chic. Chic and modern would have been very good details to have in that sentence.
Well, modern it comes after.
Yeah, I can't repeat the same word, Tina.
But we only know that the
but
clock.
But that's the clock. Yeah, modern clock. Okay. As Courtney appreciated the wonderful room, she's like, wait, I wrote this sexy room and now I love it. Okay, so I have to ask you a question. Like, in your role play...
Uh-huh.
So give us an example, like this paragraph right here. Mm-hmm. In your role play on your Facebook Messenger, would you guys be saying this stuff like to each other?
So we would go back and forth, and we would do the asterisks to like set the scene, and so we would like asterisk, you know, I walk into a room and it's blah 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 blah, and then dialogue would be. Just like typed out without asterisks. And then if we needed to like during a session, like if we needed to talk to each other, like me to Teddy, it would be two parentheses. And then what we had to say. So I'd be
double
like, hey, go into the bathroom, BRB, and then double parentheses afterwards.
Oh my God. What's with the double? Because I did double ampersands when I was a kid. What's like with the double parentheses?
I don't, it just was what worked. It just like, it was easier to like kind of keep track of. Cause then also sometimes we use just like single parentheses in the text.
There's just, it's what I mean. It's like, there was a lot to parenthesize. I remember this because I remember a teacher made a comment about it at one point on one of my papers. Like I still got like an A+, but she was like, do we need
so many
thoughts? Like, because I guess it's just like if you have so many thoughts about the character or the situation that you're trying to smoosh into a sentence and you're like, the next, if I start the next sentence, that means this one ends and I'm not ready yet. So it's like, just a way to be able to help.
Oh, fuck no. I think maybe because I've been building books for a long time, I do not have that same impulse.
I totally get that. I think it was the same how I felt with semicolons. Whew, out of control.
Sometimes you're reading a sentence and you're like, Oh my God, end the sentence. Take the shot.
Oh my God.
In like a published book.
Right. See, here I think I could have even like done the opposite where it's like there's so many like this is this, period. And this is this, period. And here we do this, period. It's like, come on.
I'm trying to remember who sent me this thing. And I don't think I can, so I'm not going to even mention it. Then, never mind. some. I wish I could shout out listeners good, but someone sent us recently that graphic, like, demonstrating sentence variety. Like, do you guys know what I'm talking about? It bounces around the internet every once in a while.
I don't think I do.
This sentence has 5 words. Here are 5 more words. 5 word sentences are fine, but several together become monotonous. Listen to what is happening. And then it's like, now listen, I vary the sentence length and I create music. Music. The writing sings. It has a pleasant rhythm, a lilt, a harmony. Okay. So.
Right.
Yes. Of sentence variety, maybe not found very much.
No, here. Not at all. And I really didn't like do much in terms of editing. It, honestly, in the role play context, it probably would be easy to read and also very funny. But in this format, this was an attempt of just like, okay, we're going to turn this into this novel. I definitely know what I'm doing. Although Teddy's more the writer, as we've stated. Mm-hmm. But Teddy was...
Well, but you did the writing.
I did. Yeah, I just... I was like, this is my moment. This is when I find... Now, when I was a kid, I wrote a lot of, like, Word. I would just go on Word and just, like, type out these stories of, like, me and my friends as, like, you know, dragons and stuff. Typical. It's a theme. I would, like, print them out and, like, but the thing is that I would add, like, these fancy borders and this clip art and stuff. Like, so it's definitely more the artist came out in it, and I would, like, print it all out and just be like, ah. And, like, bask in its glory. And, like, just hole punch it and shove it in a binder. And I was like, I wrote a book, Mom. I was like 7.
Oh,
but,
my God.
But they were all, like,
I love this energy.
I had a file folder just full of those and, like, drawings of dragons and horses. Mm-hmm. And That was it. It's to the point. You get what's happening, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. Yeah. Very descriptive.
I will say my favorite part of this paragraph is, let me try my best. As Courtney appreciated the wonderful room, the other girl became suspicious when she saw that one of the plants was attached to a vine that led into the other room. She began to follow its path. "Maddie, what are you doing?" asked Courtney when she noticed her friend walking into another room. Maddie was silent. Courtney shrugged and sat on the bright red sofa that stood out in what seemed to be the living room. And then in the next one, it says it again. I feel like I see like, and this wasn't, where does it say? Oh. Where was she? Just as her mind kicked into gear, a piercing scream filled the air. Courtney immediately sprung into from the seat and ran into the room she saw Maddie go into.
Because I definitely... I
Where to- is Maddie? Maddie's in
She's
the
in
room.
The other She's
room.
In the room. Oh my God. Because in my mind, there were a lot of other rooms in there. But of course,
well, you have to tell
we
us.
We did not specify that. We did not specify that. Oh my God. I just wanted to get to the action. I was like, guys, this is where I'm going. This is the action that's happening.
I think it's very funny that you describe Maddie found a few broken porcelain dolls and a broken mirror, but they weren't actually broken. They were burnt. It's like, bitch, that is burnt.
Yeah.
That's
not the same thing.
You say broken porcelain dolls.
Broken mirror.
I don't even know in my mind's eye. I could not tell you what Little Court was thinking.
Dot, dot, dot.
It was
space. Burnt.
It's the only place I use like the ellipses, which is the suspense. You have to know that there's fire involved.
Okay, so she finds burnt things. She doesn't feel heat or smell smoke.
Correct.
And then she says, at this point, she knew at this point something had been here or is here. Two different tenses. What? She burnt equals something is here.
I think what I would have said is, okay, she knew at this point something had been here, or if you really have to keep going, or rather, lived here.
I don't even know how I would, like, change this.
I think that's like, what
my
I
brain
would
just
say.
Like
or just cut off or is here.
Right.
probably what Tina was about to say.
But like, yeah, something's been here. It's a house. Like, of course something has been here.
Oh my God. Not even a monster, just, not anything.
Something it's not something human like, had been here.
It's like this childhood writing style that I see in a lot of different people's writing on this show where it's like, well, A obviously leads to B, but like only in your small world. Did A lead to B? Because you were writing this book and you forgot that it had to like make sense outside of your brain.
Right.
I was like, well, very obviously sure. Someone's here because there's a burnt doll here and you can't just leave a burnt doll.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh my God, I'll have to try to find some of these pictures. I like drew some of these creatures and like Spitfires and stuff. And if I find them in the mess of like what's happening in my mom's house, I will happily send over. I honestly, maybe I should just resurface it and do a painting of one for the hell of it.
Oh my God.
That would be so funny.
Sorry. It's just, this whole thing is a lot to take in.
I'm really enjoying, I'm really appreciating this line. Courtney was enjoying the comfortable sofa and decor. So Courtney's like really vibing on the aesthetic of the house right now. And they just walked into this house. They even said like this is a challenge. And they just like go into this house.
And are straight chilling.
Well, Maddie sneaks off and Courtney's like, I'm just gonna sit down.
I'm like, what? Chill.
Why did you come in here? Where's your friend?
Oh my God. This was like a consistent theme in this story though, I remember, where it's like, see, it's funny because like Courtney was like the one who like wanted to get into danger and stuff, but then like Maddie would always end up being the one that like got fucked. So it was just like Courtney like, no, oh my God, let's go into the creepy house, but then oh my God, there's a couch. And then but Maddie's like, actually I'm gonna do some investigating, and the investigating always led to some sort of shit show. There was like one point where like Maddie like got like thrust into another portal of like the people of her homeland and everything, and they had to like find this like, oh my God, what is it called, the like snake that's eating itself, the aura.
Oh yeah, wait hold on, isn't it Jorgamund?
No, Jorgamund is the world serpent.
Isn't that the snake that eats itself?
I thought the name for the symbol was something different.
Oh, I'm not sure about the name of the symbol.
Oh my God.
We'll look up that later.
This is so embarrassing.
Cool. Oh, perfect. We have the internet.
Oh yeah. Okay. Ouroboros. Yeah, the Ouroboros. Yeah. There was like, there was a snake that we had to find in the world, and like it was like an Ouroboros where it like ate itself, and like that was how you opened the portal, was like to get it to like eat itself, and it like went in and like you could, you know, travel back and forth.
Whoa.
But then like she got like trapped in the other world, and like there was this whole thing.
Oh my God.
Guys, I do remember when we finished this role play at the very end, like because we had to go up to this mountain and like defeat this evil dragon who I think was Courtney's dad. Whoa. So like the big evil dragon was like the big the
oh
the,
my God,
the, what is it called in D&D, the BB,
the boss,
the
final boss, final boss battle.
It's just big a boss. I'm drawing such a blank. Oh my God, yes, the big boss, that was her dad if I remember correctly. And I do remember like at the end when like we finally like killed him and everything, and like of course it was like a month-long thing between me and Teddy of like, you know, trying to figure out like, oh my God, is it ending? And like we were like really like we were distraught. We were like, is this actually coming to an end? And we were like crying at one point. It was so, we were so sad.
Tell us a little more about like, I don't know, like the intimacy with a friend of like playing a game like this for so long, just the
oh my
two
God
of you.
Teddy and I are just at a different level. Like he was one of the first friends I lived in Baltimore when I was born, and then we like moved out to the country when I hit the second grade, and Teddy was like one of my very first friends that I met.
Aww.
And he just like, he's just always been my homie. So like, and we always used to do like, we were like the weird anime kids. We did theater stuff together, and we did a lot of cosplay stuff. And do you guys know about Homestuck?
I've heard tell.
I've heard tell as well.
I've heard tell.
That's probably as deep as we should go on that. But
yeah,
Teddy and I, one day. Teddy and I were very avid fans of Homestuck. And so we just ended up doing all of these weird, cringy things that like got us bullied and stuff in school. So we were just like, screw it. Like, let's just do our own thing. But it's just like, I couldn't imagine doing this with anybody else in the world but Teddy. Like, I Teddy's my homie, dog. Teddy, if you're listening, I love you.
Aw. This one's for you, Teddy.
This one is for you, Teddy. But seriously, like, we talk about this all the time. But it's just, like, we just, like, we're too, like, just perfect, like, fit and, like, fits like a glove friendship.
He's your person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just, like, it worked out so well to do this very cringy, really, honestly, just, a lot of it shouldn't have been written, but there was, I mean, we were exploring things as middle schoolers and,
yeah,
you know, I had some scenes with Josh Hutchinson's PETA that really just, you know,
went a little bit too far. Crossed there was the line a cave there scene, with the,
you know,
a cave, not the cave scene.
I do hear it now that for some reason saying Josh Hutchinson's PETA does sound a little vulgar.
It really does.
Doesn't it? Oh my God. I'm just remembering there is, I'm going to find this for you guys. There's a video on YouTube of a trailer that I wrote for this story.
Oh, no.
That is just resurfacing in my brain. Now, I'm going to find this. I hope it still exists.
Yes.
This just, like, it literally just came to me, and I was like, oh, God.
Oh, like, please send that.
Feel free, wow. But, you know, if you send that, then we're going to put it out there, so.
That's okay. That's honestly, you. I'm ready. That's just, I'm just, my brain is just, wow. That's crazy.
Well, I think it's really sad that you and your friend Teddy had to, you know, get bullied for just being enthusiastic about specific stuff. I think it's probably a really common trend, unfortunately, among a lot of us.
Oh, yeah.
But how special is it that you have this piece and
yeah, it's pretty cool,
and all this history together? That's just, like, you know, sometimes you're like, were we even that close? Did I imagine all of that? But, like, you have it in writing. Yeah. That's really special.
Yeah, no, Teddy's a homie for life, and, like, we still like even kind of like retcon these, like, things that we're working on now, and, like, these still, like, into our 20s very cringy things that are, you know, very special to us, but if given to the public eye, would be like, ooh, you know? But still, we love it. We love it a lot. And it's just like, it's very, very special. And there's nobody else on this planet that, like, I feel like I could do this weird shit with.
Totally. Yeah, and I mean, like, no matter how cringy, like, you know, or maybe uncool it makes you feel to read it and see it, like, it's still, like, really precious to have, like, such an authentic little representation of this time in your life.
I would honestly print this, like, the Constitution and put it on my wall. Like, that's how much I love it. But, like, I also won't do that.
Yeah, I would recommend against it. Will not. All right. So, Court, do you think that this piece entitled Role Play for BBR.
that's definitely the name of the dog
I threw into. Wow. Into.
How did you know back then? What did BBR mean?
I had to extract this from Facebook Messenger, guys. Was so deep in there. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You're the best.
All right. So do you think this gem of a Facebook message is horny, sad, or just plain bad?
I really think it's just bad.
All right.
I really think it's just plain bad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, explain? Mm-hmm. No, it's okay.
You guys know.
We heard the thing. All right, Tina.
I'll go just plain bad with a sprinkling of horny. But I feel like I project my own teenage horniness into everyone else's teenage work as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's not fair. So I'm trying to, like, balance that.
That's so valid.
It was a real mission for me for a long time. I was like, it was everywhere.
I completely just understand
being sexy.
Red hot sex. I'm actually going to go with the same answer here, which is a BBR favorite, not a favorite, but this is just a trend we see a lot, which is my
horny bad.
Yes. So I'm going to say it's just plain bad in terms of how, like, readable it is and the grammar and lack of editing, that type of stuff. And other things. And I'm going to say that despite everything, it is horny. I think that there's a couple details when you say that Courtney smirked at Maddie. Okay, what's going on there? I know. Okay. And then at the end, she moans. Okay, I actually think it's like groans. But she moans.
Same difference.
Courtney. And then.
Oh, yeah.
That whole scene was like, excuse me, what's happening here?
I forgot to mention that when Courtney finds Maddie fainted.
Yeah.
Courtney's like, she must have fainted from fear. Instead of being like, something has happened to her to make her fall unconscious.
Listen.
She's just sweet little Maddie.
I would be like, did you fall and hit your head, you idiot? You
fucking idiot.
What the fuck? Maddie, get up.
No, there could be some romance there. Who knows? Maybe I'll have to see if I can dig out another chapter that's more down the line.
Oh my god.
We'll see.
I would love to talk about this more, so definitely let us know.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely get that video if it still exists.
Oh my god. Yes.
I'm literally gonna look right after this and I will send it to you guys if either way you will receive a message from me and it's gonna be either good or bad news.
Okay. Gort, thank you so much for bringing this onto our show and bearing your soul. This has been so fucking fun.
Thank you for having me. I loved this. This needed to. I really needed this for my soul.
Yeah, I feel like I understand you more as a friend. Aww, you know what I mean?
That makes total sense.
Where can the people find you online? What are you up to these days?
Yeah, so the best place to find me is on my Instagram, which is cosmic.court.arts. And it's mostly my art stuff, but you're going to see some more voice stuff coming soon.
Hell yeah.
I've also got a Facebook group that's called Cosmic Courts Vocal Empowerment School. And
I love it.
That I'm hoping to be like a community for people to like share singing, voice stuff, and like just to kind of empower each other, because that's what I'm all about. I'm all about empowering yourself through whatever creative outlet it is that you use. And whatever that may be. So, yeah, that's kind of it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's it for Burn Before Reading.
Until next week, remember,
your cringe is part of you.
But at least it's a fiery part of you. Hello?
This podcast was created by me, Christina Kahn.
Hosted and produced by Christina Kahn and me, Leela Hilton.
Follow me online at Christina Kahn and buy my book, Indie Book Publishing from Start to Finish.
After you bought Tina's book, follow me online at Leels for Reels.
Our theme music was produced by Sakura Wishes.
And our logo was designed by Michael Hardison. Follow Michael on Instagram at RoyGBiv or check out his work at wildlingpress.com.
Thanks for listening, friends.
See you next time.
X Media.